We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
248-539-9797. Ticket text 97136. Stoney? Let's go to the phones.
Hey, Jamie.
Should we just start the show off with a phone call?
Sure. You know, all I have to say is, thank God there's 15 games left, and oh my God, there's 15 games left.
Oh God.
I mean, what do you say? I mean, they get off to that great start, and then that wasn't even
a great start, though. That was a horrible start by Sam Darnold.
Whatever. It was a great play. The place is going crazy.
It wasn't that great of a play.
Oh, come on.
I think you could have picked that ball off.
Whatever. No, I would have tripped. Go on. At least be with me for like at least 20 seconds here.
Okay.
The place was going crazy. Yep. You're up 7-0. You're feeling good. And then that was it. It was over. Game over. Yep. Season over. Maybe. I said it was a must-win situation. Okay? Because of what happens next. San Francisco.
Oh, that's right. I asked you yesterday if the Lions lose the game. And I was thinking if they were to lose the game, it were going to be something like, you know, 21-19 or something like that.
I tried to get a hold of the Bugler. He was Jewish. He's off for Rosh Hashanah. He can't even come in.
Oh, for the taps?
For the burial, yeah.
Yeah, for the burial.
No, it's just so freaking disappointing. If this is the Jets, now, you know... Much like Notre Dame. Oh, maybe the Jets aren't as bad as we thought. Yeah, the Jets probably aren't as bad as we thought.
They're pretty bad.
But the Lions are so much worse than we thought. We sat there during preseason and said, God, they're bad, but it's preseason. Yeah, but still, they don't look like they can do anything. And to me, the most discouraging thing, yeah, Stafford sucked. I mean, geez, state the obvious. He had a horrific game. No escape from that. On him, whatever. The two most important things I personally looked forward to in this season to see if this coaching staff, the front office, whatever, could do for this football team was to be able to, A, stop the run, and B, run the ball. G, week one, NFL, 169 yards they gave up on the ground, 4.7 yards a carry, and they rushed the ball a whopping 39 yards on 15 carries for 2.6 yards a carry. Boy, that, my friends, is progress. That's scouting. That's drafting. That's getting rid of guys who can't play like, I don't know, Anthony Zettel. That just is, it's that to me, those stats, if you want to use that aspect of the game, completely summed it up.
Well, the good news is, Stoney, we have 4 hours to go, and we can use every aspect of the game to sum up how bad it was.
Even Matt Prater sucked.
Yeah. And I just think, I want to say up front that everything we say this morning is fair game. Every single thing. And if it comes back to haunt us, so be it.
Yeah.
But everything last night sucked. And everything about this organization right now sucks. Bob Quinn sucks. Matt Patricia sucks. The offensive and defensive lines, as you said, Stoney, suck. The linebacking core sucks. The run defense sucks. The pass blocking, the run blocking sucks. Everything about it sucks.
Special teams suck.
Yeah, special teams. You know, the cheerleaders I thought had a fine night. I liked the M&M effect. Other than that, it was so bad
that Beth Mowins was better than the Lions.
It was so bad that the game moved to ESPN2. I mean... Has an NFL game ever been moved off the network on which it started other than, like, the Heidi game, which was in 1972 or whatever it was?
Probably not.
At one point, you could barely pay attention from about the halfway point of the third quarter on. And God bless the Lions fans. How anybody was still in that building wearing Honolulu blue from about to the 7-minute point of the third quarter on is beyond me. Like, I knew the Jets fans were going to take over. They did. They had the fire hat guy standing behind the bench doing the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets,
Good
Jets.
For them.
But how could Lions, I mean, I give you guys credit. How do you stay there for that crap? I mean, especially on a Monday night. It's one thing on a Sunday afternoon where maybe you've had a few pops. But knowing you have to work this morning, I don't know why anybody would stay for that debacle. But yeah, at a certain point in like the fourth quarter, with like 8 minutes left, I heard Beth Mowins on ESPN say, and the conclusion of this game will be on ESPN2. Let's send it out to Joe Tessitore in Oakland. And I was like, Did the Lions just get bumped? I've never heard of that before. The Lions just got bumped to ESPN2.
Well, more people cared at that point nationally about the beginning of
I don't, trust me, I'm not saying it's a bad decision. Yeah. I just feel bad for all those Hispanic-speaking people who want to see the conclusion of the exciting Lions-Jets game.
Oh, on ESPN Deporte?
And had nowhere to turn, because unless they put that onto ESPNU, I have no idea.
It was the equivalent of, though, back in like the day. Once in a while, you'll have a game on, and you'll have that voice come in all of a sudden. We will now send you to a more competitive game.
Yes, but that's during regional coverage, not during national. Like when the Lions are playing on Thanksgiving Day, and we've seen a lot of debacles on Thanksgiving Day, they never say, okay, we're going to now show you classic cars and their owners. You never get bumped from a national television audience, and the Lions got bumped last night, and they deserved it. And here's the worst part to me. Well, there's two worst. There's 30 worst parts. What's the worst part? I don't know. Here's two worst parts for me. Okay. Number one is that it'd be very easy for us to sit here this morning and say, is this the worst? And there's no possible way you can say that because it's the latest worst. You know, the Bengals last year on Christmas Eve, that was the worst.
Yeah.
That Chiefs game in London, which led to the Mayhew-Luan fight, that was the worst. The playoff game in Philly. Okay, that was the worst.
Thanksgiving against Tennessee.
That was the worst. I mean, Peyton Manning, the Colts not even bringing the... Joey Harrington coming in on Thanksgiving and beating the... That was the worst. Okay, whatever. Here's the second worst part, and this is something Stoney and I... This is a drum we've been banging for 15 years, is that nationally today the story is Gruden losing and Sam Darnold. Like, the Lions aren't even, they're not even like a...
I know.
Like,
postscript.
Right. No one nationally is saying, wow, what happened to the Lions? What a debacle by... It's like, oh, yeah, it's the Lions.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's kind of what they do.
Yeah.
I'm
waiting for Sam Darnold to people to sit there, but he hasn't proved it against a real team yet.
I agree with that. I feel terrible for Sam Darnold because he probably thinks this is an easy league. He's in for a rude awakening for the next 15 games.
The second featured story on ESPN.com right now is Matt Patricia's start is as bad as it gets.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that.
It was pretty awful.
But it's below Darnold.
I was driving and listening to NFL radio just to kind of get a sense, and I heard the John Gruden press conference from last night after the Raiders lost to the Rams 33-13, and then discussion about Sam Darnold. It was like, and I even heard one of the clowns on there saying, I think the Lions will bounce back from this. I was like,
really?
Based on what?
I mean, what the scariest thing out of all this to me is, and I think it's fair game.
Jim Caldwell smiling?
No, that they, not only, I believe they quit last night, but if he has lost some of the veterans on this team because of the way he pushed them in camp, this could get unprecedented.
Now, here's the worst part. Okay, here's the worst part. I'm just going to read this. There's like 90 worst parts. This is from Dave Burkett's article. Golden Tate motioned a few steps to his right, and as Matthew Stafford looked his way, New York Jets cornerback Morris Claiborne began pointing emphatically towards the middle of the field. Tate had come closer to the line of scrimmage to run a pick route on Jets linebacker Darren Lee in an attempt to free up Theo Riddick for what should have been an easy 3rd-and-1 conversion. But Lee, with Claiborne's assistance, recognized the play, jumped the route, intercepted Stafford's pass, and returned to 36 yards for a touchdown in the third quarter that snowballed and led the Detroit Lions to an embarrassing 48-17 loss to the Jets in the game one of the Matt Patricia era. I don't know about you, Stoney, but I'm starting to think this Jim Bob Cooter's not a very good offensive coordinator.
Well, he's going to be an easy scapegoat out of all this.
Yeah,
well,
no, he will be the first scapegoat because he's not part of the regime.
No. But my point is, with all this talk about the film, right, that's going to be a major storyline here, too, is the Jets claim they knew everything the Lions were running.
Because he ran the same thing he did with New England.
No. Jim Bob Cooter, he's a holdover. Jim Bob, for all the changes he's supposedly making, Jets didn't see any changes. I took the Jets reading of the Lions offense to be not an indictment of Patricia, but an indictment of Cooter. Now, they both should be indicted.
Right.
What did we say yesterday? We were talking about the one thing we want to see besides winning, and it was a new play calling.
Yeah.
You know, like the Bears kind of showed on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
And it was the same old crap.
And you know what? Once again, they really look efficient when they go tempo, no huddle and all that, and they did it once and that was it. I mean, like, why don't they start the game like that for once? Do something creative.
Same old crap.
So it's SOC now?
Same old Cooter?
SOC, SOL.
I mean, when did you start laughing? It's comedy.
That's a good question. When did I start laughing? I would say probably the play I just described, the lead run back for a touchdown. Because so what happened? So there's many debacles.
They're amazing
in that game.
Because you would not, no matter what, if I would have told you they would score 31 points in the third quarter, the New York Jets, you said no, Gov, you're just going too far this time.
Of course, 31 points in a quarter by that team with a rookie quarterback. Come on, I think you're crazy. Nothing's crazy when you play the Lions. It's all out there. It's all fair game.
What did they do for the 6 weeks of training camp?
Well, they certainly didn't. They certainly didn't catch passes. That's another thing.
Well, no, but I mean the only optimism that people had for Lions this year, based on what they saw in training camp, was well, this is when we see it for real. This is when they, you know, we didn't really see the full Matt Patricia. We didn't see what this offense can do. We'll see it for real. I mean, like, you know, Kerryon Johnson. Best running back they've had since Barry Sanders. When did he actually take the field? The second quarter?
Yeah.
I think the highlight of the night was that they converted third and one, and it was actually not a predictable run up the middle.
I know. Then there was another one where they had third and one where I wish they, you know, I said, well, all right, wait a second. You got LeGarrette Blount for short yardage and you're passing and it didn't work. It's like, okay, that was a good acquisition too, probably.
All right. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. The ticket text is 97136. The phone lines are open. All right, let's go to the phone, Stoney. Jim from Chesterfield was hanging on to talk to Brian, but hopefully he'll talk to us instead. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, I wish I could say I was good, but I'll tell you this. Matt Stafford deserves all the blame he gets because he played like crap, one of his worst games.
Yes.
But, gentlemen, we all know, without sounding cliche, this game's won and lost in the trenches. We have no O-line. We have no D-line. That Darnold kid played good, but he had all day. And, you know, the obvious blatant thing and the lack of creativity by, I'm not a Jim Bob Cooter fan, by the way, third and one, and you can't turn and hand the ball off to a guy like Blount and get your first down? No, he throws a pick six, and a hurried pick six, because he was running for his life all night. We don't run block, now we don't pass block either. This is going to be a long season, guys. It's ugly.
Hopefully, and it is just one game. Frank Ragnow has a better game. He didn't do much either.
No.
Did you see the play where Decker ended up on Stafford where he got hurt the first time?
Yeah.
You know who pushed him into him? Copeland, who used to be on the Lions. He wasn't good enough to play here.
Yeah.
Good enough to almost kill your quarterback.
Yeah, Ragnow had the one play where he got blown up and he was turning around trying to tend to Stafford while the ball was going back the other way. I think that was the Darren Lee interception, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were trying to look for bright spots on this roster, you would try, but you wouldn't see very much. I mean,
if they have an award for player of the game, I guess it would either be between Diggs because he had an interception for a touchdown and Galladay. I mean, Galladay did have seven receptions. He did have a great hit on a return, an interception.
Yeah, Galladay, seven catches, 114 yards, and then, the hit. He looked good.
Yeah.
He definitely looked good. Let's go back to the phones. Keith in Detroit, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. How you doing, Keith?
Oh, pretty good. Yourself?
All right.
Well, this is a great morning. I was so thrilled from last night's victory. I enjoy waking up this morning saying I'm a Lions fan. You know, I predicted the Lions was going to go 4-12 this year. I think I was too generous. Maybe about 2-14. That might have been more accurate.
Well, who are the two? Who are the two, Keith?
let's see. Preseason games.
They only had one. They only had one preseason win. So you got to find one more on the schedule.
Maybe Thanksgiving. Yeah, maybe the Thanksgiving game. I'm not sure who they're going to play Thanksgiving.
They're playing the Bears, and the Bears look good. Khalil Mack watched some of that last night and said, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have some Stafford for dinner, for turkey for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You know, I told people, I said, y'all extended Stafford contract and gave him all that money. I said, what has he done since then? He hasn't done anything. And I said, I've been saying this for the last 8-9 years. The Lions ain't gonna do no good. We're wasted. We're finished. I'm tired of going up there and saying, "Oh, the Lions ain't gonna do that." I grew up supporting the Lions, and I know better.
You do know
better.
Well, you know what? Always support your team. You know what? You can boo them. You can throw things at the television, but they're your team, even if they suck.
I don't want to mess up my TV just watching, you know, just because of their play. No, that's okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, Keith, it's so discouraging and it's so deflating. I mean, we were talking during the commercial break and Gov told us the story of the 83 game against the 49ers when his father said they're never going to change. That was 1983. It's 2018. And the other deflating part is, you know, the other teams aren't playing all that well in this town either. You know, so we are one game into the Lions season. It's September 11th. We have months left of the NFL season. Michigan's 1-1. Michigan State's 1-1. Neither the Pistons or the Red Wings appear to have strong playoff aspirations.
Jamie, the Red Wings play for the championship of the Prospects Tournament today in Traverse City.
And the Tigers don't appear to have hot prospects for 2019 after the way the 2018 season went. So nothing about this is fun. You know, and I know that for some people, making fun of the Lions is a blood sport. And I know that we all love, you know, the jokes that go along with it. But unfortunately, the cold, harsh reality of this is they may have just hired a head coach who's in over his head. They have a general manager who appears to be in over his head. They have an offensive coordinator who has the support of his quarterback, but who appears to be in over his head. And most franchises do not fire a head coach after 1 year.
Correct.
Which means we might have a year or two of Matt Patricia.
He could be our Hugh Jackson.
He could be our Hugh Jackson. See, Stoney's laughing. I don't find this funny, Stoney.
You know what? And the one thing we were hoping is that Bob Quinn's greatest investment, which is the offensive line, wasn't going to be looking like it did last year. And that it would actually be the strength of the team because that is what his plan is. And it looks like he's completely wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
That Decker was going to be back, and that would make things right.
Right.
Instead, TJ Lang's already banged up again. Rick Wagner looks like the classic, I went out and paid too much for the offensive lineman.
For a right tackle. Right. Not a left tackle, a right tackle. The highest paid right tackle in National Football League history.
Yeah.
Far be it for the Lions to make history on the positive side.
You know, and like I said, if these veterans are revolting already, which I think is a potential. That's what I saw last night, man. I saw quitting.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Yeah.
A lot of people saw quitting, you know, in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, you know, corners, and by corners, I don't mean cornerbacks. You know, Roberts able to turn the corner on a punt return. Powell able to just, or Crowell able to just kind of pull away from people. I think Crowell is not Todd Gurley. You know, we're not talking about Jahvid Best. And yet here he was pulling away from defensive players.
I give Greg crap. Go ahead.
Well, no, the story all through training camp was that Matt Patricia had come in and he was running a tough camp. And some people had a problem with it. And I believe we sat here on the radio and said, come on, it hasn't worked the other way. Why not try something different? I mean, what's wrong with pushing these guys a little bit? Take them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And maybe that's going to backfire on Patricia. I don't know.
Greg, before the show, you know, said this looked like Arizona a few years ago when all heck broke loose before they went to London.
Right.
You know, and loss of the Chiefs, and then you had the regime change and, you know, LaWanda.
Yeah.
Out. You know, the hope is that these guys, you know, do turn it around like they did after that. You know, but it's so troubling that it's the first game of the year and this is how you respond.
And
this is how you responded to your new head coach.
And against a team that was, of all the teams on your schedule, with the possible exception of the Buffalo Bills, this is the one everybody had as a W. I mean, that's disheartening.
Yeah. Let's go to D in Detroit on 97.1 The Ticket. Good morning, D.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, I don't really want to talk about the game, but you guys are right. I was amazed. I'm looking at the sea of blue jerseys doing this blowout. Nobody's leaving. The camera's showing everybody's faces. And I'm like, look at this. Look at these loyal Lion fans. And the camera was all on it. But did anybody see Matt Patricia was on the sideline? And I swore he said, I can't do this. He said something similar to, I can't do this or I can't take this. I don't know if anybody else seen it, but when I saw that, I was like, wow, this coming from the head coach? Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't. He had a perplexed look on his whole face.
He had an angry look. Look, I mean, we can sit here and try to read into it. You know,
right.
I don't know what was going on inside his head. I got to think at some point he was thinking that Josh McDaniels made the right call. I mean, I got to think that at least crossed his mind. Why not stay in New England? Everything's done the right way. The pressure's not on me. So, you know, who knows what was going through his mind? Maybe it was Bobby Ross. I don't coach that stuff. I'm a good coach. I don't know. It's unfair to look at him and judge what was going through his mind because we really don't know. He's obviously angry. He's obviously frustrated. And I'm sure to some degree he's embarrassed.
And disappointed in himself. This is a reflection on him.
It is. It is because the Lions were 9-7 last year. And Bob Quinn, in a quote that might end up being one that haunts him for the rest of his Lions career, said on January 1st, after he fired Jim Caldwell, that he believed there was more talent on this team than a 9-7 record would indicate. That's why he fired Caldwell. That's why he went out and got Patricia. And one of the things, and you asked him about this, I think, Stoney, when we had him on after the draft, Quinn, you know, he talked about how the Pittsburgh game in particular was galling to him because I believe that was the candy on top of the dessert question, wasn't it?
Maybe.
Where they could not get the ball into the end zone and they have to keep settling for field goals. And it sounded to me like Quinn was saying there's a toughness lacking on this team. We're going to address that. We're going to go out and get a coach who can bring the toughness. And then last night was the most toothless Lions performance that I've seen in recent memory.
His plan, I believe, is the correct one. The execution is just buffoonery.
His plan to what?
Like build a team with the trenches and all that kind of stuff. That makes sense. But he's picking the wrong soldiers to fight this war.
Yeah, you can say that, but he's also made some – I mean, why – okay, they correct me if I don't have the timeline correct here, then that's fine. They draft LeGarrette – or they sign LeGarrette Blount. Right?
Yeah.
They have Riddick and Abdullah already on the roster, along with Washington and Zenner. They make a trade in the draft to trade up to get Kerryon Johnson from Auburn in the second round. Opening night, he's not out there for the first, what, two, three series?
I know.
So why trade up to get Kerryon Johnson if he's not good enough to start or good enough to at least play in the first couple series? Because you knew you signed Blount. Blount wasn't like a Jean-Francois late season, late camp signing.
No, it wasn't.
Right?
You're right.
Ricky Jean Francois, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And Zettel, who was actually pretty good here, they cut him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.